Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I'd like you, if you have your Bible, to turn to the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to be reading in the 33rd chapter a little bit of word. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about being a faithful watchman. That's an interesting term, isn't it, watchman? There was also a philosophical Christian writer by the name of Watchman Nee. Did anybody ever hear that name? A few of you have heard that. Pretty good stuff. Pretty controversial in some areas, but I thought that was interesting that somebody would be even named Watchman. But beginning in the 33rd chapter, let me read a little bit of the scripture to you, and then share a little bit with you this morning of how important I think this is in our contemporary life. Amen. Verse 1, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword comes and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And it goes on to describe some of the other scenarios concerning the watchman sounding the alert to the people. The interesting thing about this that I think in the context that you need to understand, as we talk about that and then bring it forward to our day, I think part of what happens to us in our current situation is that everything seems to have gone on as it has always gone on. And we have the tendency to sometimes think that things are never going to change, things cannot be changed, because they've gone on since our ancestors. We've been living this way, and we've been conducting ourselves this way, and historically, everything's been pretty much the same. We've had a few changes here and there, but for the most part, pretty much living the way we've lived for a long time. And that's good that we think that way to a certain degree, but I want to make some things make you aware of some things this morning that I think will be a bit of a blessing to you. Because I think what we have failed to realize is that God has continually set up watchmen. And we've not always recognized them. We've not always realized what they were and what their purpose was. But God has always done that. If you determine the context of the scripture, in the previous chapter, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel and told him to speak or lament, actually. And I don't know how you practice lamenting. I mean, I've been sorry for things my whole life, so I guess my whole life is a lamenting. But when he's kind of commanded by the Lord to lament, I think it has to do with a little bit of intercession. Does everybody know what intercession is? Is when you go to before the Lord on behalf of someone else. So I think it has that much of a weight to it. There's some intercession involved. I think there's some genuine sorrow, some empathy. Not sympathy, but empathy, where you feel an anxiety, a pain, a concern for the individual or the people or whatever situation you are lamenting. I think that has to do somewhat with the spiritual side of it. But either way, Ezekiel's commanded to lament over the fall of Egypt, which had not yet taken place, but was going to take place. And then not only was it Israel, but there were several other places. Edom and Elam were both mentioned as well. And, of course, Meshach and Tubal, those are mentioned all. And they will also be mentioned later in 38 and 39 of this book, which is prophetic to our actual day. So when Ezekiel is speaking, he's speaking in contemporary terms, whether he knew it or not at the time. But today, as we look back and we study the book of Ezekiel, especially the end-time prophecy that's involved there, you begin to think that this man is giving prophecy to the people of his current day, but it has ramifications in our day, very real ramifications in our day. And so it's probably a good thing to pay some attention to what the man's saying. But what God, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, lament over Egypt that was about to fall, because the Lord was going to send the sword to Egypt. And then he describes all the brave and mighty men that have been slain. And then he gives the same mental picture of Elam, same mental picture of Edom and Meshach and the others, how they died. And some of them died in such a way, a dishonorable way, that they would not be named amongst the mighty men. Now that doesn't mean a whole lot to us, because we're, most of us, not soldiers. But if you've been in the military, you know how important honor is in the military and how important it is to serve in an honorable way. That's why they have honorable discharges and dishonorable discharges. You follow what I'm saying? So it's kind of along that way. And God is speaking to Ezekiel to speak to these people and lament over them, because they're going to fall. And what he was prophesying was Babylon would be sent in to slay these nations, and a new empire would be established. And so with that as a pretext to the next scripture, which I've just read for you, and you can read on further in it, just to kind of get a better feel for what a watchman is, I think what the Lord was saying through Ezekiel to his people, he's commanding them, in light of this happening, which are nations all around Israel, in light of what's going to happen, I want you to note what he said. He said, when I send the sword. Many times we have this super Christian idea that everything that's bad comes from the devil and only good things come from God. But according to this scripture, and even some of Paul and Peter's writings, you will discover that sometimes God sends the pestilence into the land. Sometimes God sends the sword into the land. And sometimes God sends judgment with that sword. Now, you and I don't often get a view of that until we look back into history. While you're currently living some of these issues, you're not always aware of it. You're not always concerned about it, because things seem to be going on as they have for a long time. And so we become apathetic. We become, we get lazy about our alertness and our vigilance to the things that we think are very important in our lives. And so the interesting thing about setting up a watchman, that is an Old Testament term, on into the medieval times. Modern warfare is a little bit different, because when you do siege on a city today, you may, in the days of Ezekiel, they had walled cities. Even Jerusalem is a walled city from ancient times, and the walled city was a great protection. The problem with a walled city was most of the growth of food for that city and water source for that city was outside the walls. And so when you did siege on a city or a castle or whatever, you did so by cutting off their supplies. Well, even in modern warfare, we know that if we can cut off the supply line, then the enemy can't eat. After a while, he can't fight. You follow me? And so there's a lot of strategy to that. And there's even a famous story in the Old Testament where the water was cut off and the men came in like a Trojan horse through that channel to get into the city to defeat the children of Israel. But at any rate, one of the interesting things about the context of this is to make us aware that when we begin to see as watchmen, or if we don't have a watchman, or if we're not watching, who will then sound the alarm? Who will then blow the trumpet if we don't have an established watchman, if we don't have people set on the wall, on these walled cities? And so what would happen, a watchman would be the man on the wall. Have you ever heard that in the Bible, read that in the Bible? And so when we get the mental picture of this walled city and the people on top of the wall watching and being alert, you can imagine if the watchman is not alert, if he's not watching, then danger can come in and we'd be unaware of that, and then the people would be unprotected. Obvious stuff, amen? You know that much about military stuff, but there's not only a literal truth to this, There's also a very spiritual, strong spiritual truth, and I think a parallel to this. Because what God is telling Ezekiel to is to establish, tell the people to establish, and he's talking about the coastline in case they were attacked that way, but the point was to establish a watchman. I contend that what Ezekiel is talking about is very literal, because Babylon is about to sweep through that whole area and set up a whole brand new empire, and Israel is going to be directly affected by that. And so he's encouraging them, keep someone on watch. Now, if you think that's just too abstract, stop and think about this spiritually. Do you not believe that God has established a watchman in your home, in your family? Do you not believe he's established a watchman in the church? If you don't recognize that even you might be that watchman, then who's going to sound the trumpet for your family or for your church or for your community? And so what God, I think, is doing in this message to Ezekiel is making God's people wake up and be aware we need to set sentries. We need to set watchmen on the wall to protect us and so that we can be ready and prepared. And that then speaks of two things. If we're the head of our home, and by the way, gentlemen, God established you, whether you fulfill that or not, he established you as the head of the home, and he established you as the watchman of your home. And so in a corporate setting like this, there are many men in here today that are watchmen of their home, but they're also participants in watching out for the welfare of the church. And I think that's very important. And so that has to do with literal as well as spiritual things in the church. Amen? And so Ezekiel's getting very, 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 very close to what I think we're experiencing today. And when he shares this with us, I'm just totally amazed at how it parallels some of the things. And in fact, some of the characters that I've read about in the previous chapter, told you about in this previous chapter, are very same people that are today, this very day, are in warfare in the Middle East right now. Elam became a part of the Babylonian Babylonian Empire. But prior to that, it was Elam and Edom and others that were all gathered together that became a part of the Persian Empire. If you don't know who the Persians are, they live in the Middle East. And they're doing warfare against Israel right now. And so it's pretty interesting how you can read about ancient times and then suddenly realize he's talking about your time. And I think I'd be a bad pastor, a bad spiritual leader, if I didn't tell this church that we need to set some watchmen on the wall to sound the alarm. And I think that some of the alarm that needs to be sounded should arrest us this morning. It should cause every man that has a family, that is married and has children or no children, doesn't make any difference. If you're the head of the home, this should be a very real policy in your life. You should be the one who allows or disallows whatever happens in your home and your family. Amen? You should not only be the one who determines what your family is exposed to, you should be the one that is aware and always vigilant, looking for the enemy of your family, as well as the church, and as well as your community, and ultimately as well as our nation for that matter. So anyway, what are some of the duties of the watchman? It's very literal as well as spiritual. Because anytime God gives a literal instruction in the Old Testament, it has spiritual ramifications and it has symbolism for other times. And that's what we're experiencing today. I think we're in the time of Ezekiel. I think we're in the time when these things are coming to pass. And I think it's very wise of us as Christians to recognize that there is a very real enemy, both literally and spiritually, that we're combating against. Making sense? So obviously the watchman on the wall is to watch for the enemy approaching. So he is the one that is the first alert and detects the enemy's approach. Second of all, he's the one that's to sound the alarm, to alert the people, sound the trumpet. But here's the interesting thing. He's the one that watches for the enemy coming, and he's the one that sounds the alarm. But Ezekiel spends some time talking about the people. And he wants to make some things very clear. If the alarm is sounded and you don't take heed to the alarm, then your blood, if the sword comes and you're taken away, your blood is on your own shoulders because you did nothing to prepare for the enemy's approach or be ready for a response to the enemy approaching. However, if the alarm is sounded and you do respond to the watchman's sounding, and this is all, you know, theoretic at this point, but soon to be proven real, then and you take heed to that and you respond, you don't respond just haphazardly. You must have a plan, amen? You must have a plan to be ready to respond when the trumpet is sounded. And so when the watchman declares or blows the trumpet and you respond and you prepare for the enemy as it comes, then the blood will be upon the enemy's head and you will not be accountable for your blood if it's slain. And the watchman won't be accountable for your blood. So those that don't listen, the watchman is not accountable for that because he's done his job. He's sounded the alarm. However, if the watchman does not sound the alarm, then the blood of everyone that is slain is upon his head. Now, I don't know. I tend to think that, you know, if somebody survives that, they're going to take care of the watchman. But I think there's a spiritual emphasis there. If you don't respond, if you don't sound the alarm and people are slain, they are on your head. I think that has spiritual ramification. I think that has very much a spiritual ramification. And so it's important that we not only understand that there needs to be watchmen, but that if we are the watchmen, we need to be faithful watchmen. Consistent. Always alert. Always ready. Always preparing for the attack of the enemy. Did you know that's one of the reasons that Christians stumble the most? When Christians fall from God's grace, they sin or whatever they do. You know what one of the major problems with that is that they've not prepared for the attack of the enemy. They've not prepared. Because if we had been preparing when the enemy came, even if the watchman didn't announce it, we could recognize it ourselves. We were, because we had prepared for the enemy. I find that very interesting. I find God's requirement on the part of the watchman and on the part of the people very significant for our day. Because how many of the fathers would raise your hand and say, man, I've been a perfect watchman for my family? And there may be some of us here, but I'm going to just be the first one to confess to you, I've probably not been the best one. I've allowed things in my home that I've learned to regret that I've allowed them in my home. I wish that there were things that I would not have done or allowed my kid to do or say or think or whatever or be exposed to. And as a spiritual leader of my home, I took that responsibility fairly seriously. I do account for the fact that there's a certain time when those kids get to be where they have their own free will. That's when you need to put the plug back in the knot hole that you were feeding them through in the barrel you had them in. Amen? But I realize that when they get their free will, then your challenge begins because you're going to be battling that free will and you become not so much a dictator, but you become an advisor and an encourager and a leader to set the example for your children. And I realize all that and I've tried to do that. And have I been perfect at it? I would have to say no. But I have had the joy of having this said to me by my children. They have come up to me since they're all grown and in their 30s and late, however old they are. I asked my wife. She knows all their ages. But they're fairly adult, let's put it that way. And I've had them rise up and tell me, Dad, I'm glad you raised us the way you raised us. I'm glad you whipped our rear when we needed our rear. I didn't mean to say that out loud, but that's what they got. And I applied discipline, which was, I think, as much a part of being a watchman over your family as anything. And I'm not here to indict anybody on their failures because I'm the first one to admit that I've had them. And I've made bad choices and lived to regret them and so forth. That's not the point. The point is that if you're a watchman, be a watchman to the best of your ability. And sometimes your judgments and choices are going to be different, but you have a responsibility. What is the goal you have for your family? What's the goal you have for your children? What's the goal you have for your family as a whole? What do we want to be as people of this land? What do we want to be? I want to be a person that follows after Jesus Christ. As for me and my house was the theme of our wedding. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the way we've tried to live our whole lives since we've become Christians. And so it's very important to me that I become a good watchman, that I know my responsibilities, and that I'm faithful to sound the alarm and to warn. And I know I did battle with my daughter who wanted to wear skirts too high and too much makeup and all those kinds of things. And that was a battle going on. And my son that wanted to go and do whatever he wanted to do, and I didn't want him to do that. And so there was a battle on. And so there was a constant vigil as to what's best for our family. We don't do these things. When my son went into rebellion and went away from the house, I actually had to kick him out of the house. When that happened, it was probably the worst moment of our lives, first worst time of our lives. But one of the things we said to him is, hey, son, we don't do these things here. This is not who we are. Thankfully, God brought him back home to the family of God. Thankfully, not to my home because he eats too much, but back to the family of God anyway. And so I'm deeply grateful for that, and now serves the Lord with a pretty strong heart for Christ. But my point is, had I not been somewhat vigilant, had I not been somewhat of a man on the wall watching out for my family, who knows what disasters would have befallen us. So I think this urgency that God is placing in the heart of Ezekiel is one that needs to be accepted and received today in the hearts and the minds of Christian people, because this is what's going on. There is a concerted, systematic effort to undermine and to destroy Christianity in America today. And if you haven't recognized that, let me be the watchman on the wall and wake you up. If you don't realize that there are systematic efforts to take away your rights as a Christian, you need to really wake up. Let me blast the trumpet now and wake you up a little bit, because we have an enemy. And let me tell you how he works. He's very interesting in how he works. First of all, he'll try a frontal attack. He'll just come full bore attack you. Amen? It's like the guy who baked cakes and had a bakery of all kinds of things, but he made wedding cakes. I had to forget where he's at, but I heard it on the radio, how he would not sell cakes or make a cake for a gay couple, which to me, the guy has the right to refuse service to anybody, as any business owner should, amen? That's my view. That guy now has to go to sensitivity training, and I don't know what else they've thrown on this guy, because he refused to do a cake for this couple. Do you not realize? Let me ask you something. Don't just try to use this in mind. If you were a part of a gay couple, why would you go in and make such a big deal about this guy not making your cake? You have an agenda. You want to establish a precedent. Because if you can establish a precedent, it isn't just this one cake maker. It's going to be any cake maker in the country. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Every one of these little incidents, are you still with me? Every one of these little incidents, you may not realize, affects your freedom. Wake up. There's a watchman on the wall blowing a trumpet to tell you that our society and our culture is going straight to hell. And if somebody does not intercede on their behalf, somebody is going to be having their blood on our heads. So Christians need to become more vocal. They need to sound the alarm. They need to get involved. And they need to stop allowing political correctness and whatever else that is influencing, and the agendas that are out there, to take away your rights. And that affects your Christian walk, because you're going to eventually be walking as a Christian without any kind of covering or help from the government or our culture. They don't care what happens to you. And so consequently, what's that old saying about good men doing nothing? That evil will triumph? Of course it will. And so what does he do? He attacks us in a frontal way. And I just gave you one small example. One small example of what's going on in our culture today, and I don't know so much about our immediate, our city or town. I get in trouble now when I talk about our city, so I don't want to talk about the fine metropolis of Azilla very much. But the point is, I don't know that those issues are happening here directly, but they will still affect us. And so what am I saying? When the frontal attack comes, we need to support brothers and sisters in Christ, because they took a stand for what they believe. Amen? The other things that the enemy will do to try to defeat you is cause erosion. Erosion is a very interesting thing. Cause us to be unprepared, disregard the warnings, drop our guard, not be vigilant. It doesn't happen instantly. If somebody, the enemy attacks us straight on, we know he's an enemy, we rise up to fight. That's our natural reaction. But when erosion is taking place, when we compromise on a conviction, when we believe God has told us not to do this or to do this, and we compromise and say, oh, well, it's not that necessary to do it, that's erosion. When your convictions and what you really believe about God and about country and about freedom and about relationships with God's people, when you begin to compromise those things, you begin to realize that erosion is taking place. And it won't be long until there will be a collapse. And so when the enemy attacks, if he can't get you on a frontal attack, he will try to erode your convictions. He'll tempt you with a little thing here and a little thing there, and before long, you are weakened in your Christian walk. Then when the alarm is sound, you're not prepared. You're not prepared for war. You're not even prepared for your own survival as a Christian. Am I making sense? And so erosion to me is probably one of the most hideous ways in which the enemy attacks us, because he will come at us with half-truths. He'll come at us giving a part of the word but not giving you all of the word. You remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? What did the devil do when he talked to Eve? He gave her a half-truth. He didn't give her the whole truth. He didn't repeat the truth that God had actually done, but he had given her a half-truth. Erosion took place. And so with a lack of confidence and the erosion that takes place, the enemy has won half the battle already. The third thing that he does is he creates deception. The enemy is the father of lies. Do you know that? He will lie about you. In fact, he will lie about you to other people, but he'll also lie to you right to your face. He is a non-discriminant liar. He will lie to you. In fact, how many times have you doubted your Christian walk? Does God really save me? Am I really a Christian? How many have done that? Come on, don't be ashamed. That's all. Because just about everybody should raise your hand. Because at one point or another, we have been affected by this. We have had the deception thrown at us, and we've been deceived about what we believe. We've had people that have lied to us, and we have had individuals who have not been completely honest with us. And so the enemy uses this deception to try to cause you to lose faith in Christ. That's on the spiritual level. Those very same exact things are happening to this country, to you and I as citizens of this country. Will you like it or not, or agree with me or not, it's what's happening. You need to understand that you're being lied to. The economy is not great. Are you still with me? Universal health care is not going to work. We should never have left Iraq. And we should not leave Afghanistan. Because the war that's coming, we have no way to stage to help Israel fight. We should support Israel. These things are happening exactly today by deception. How is it? Let me give you an example. Are you still with me? So wake up now. I can get the ushers to shake you if you need it. Why is it? Now think about this. Just think about this for a second. Let me pass this by you and let it sink a second, but I'm going to pass it by you. How is it that 1,000 rockets are launched into Israel? Israel defends it with the Iron Curtain, or what do they call it? Iron Dome. Defends themselves with that. How is it that through tunnels that have been dug, these terrorists, or whatever you want to call them, sneak through and kidnap three young teenagers or whatever and kill them? How is it then that Israel is the problem? Deception. Lying. I don't know. Maybe I'm just blowing in the wind here. But I want you to realize that the enemy is intensifying his efforts to cause the watchman to become lazy and unprepared and non-vigilant. The fourth way in which he works is coercion. Coercion. Pressured to surrender, threatened, slandered, and rebelled against. That's coercion. How many of you had been told that you can't say certain things? Coercion. How is it that the enemy is able to cause you to be quiet? Because if you're not quiet, the IRS will come after you. I'm sorry. This is the best way I know how to do it. Still with me? Do you care one way or the other? I think we need to sound the alarm. Sound the alarm to the fathers of our families in this church. You've got to wake up. You've got to start preparing your family, because if the sword comes, because let me tell you what, can I just preach the gospel to you? Are you ready? The sword is coming, and the Lord is the one swinging the sword. You know why? Because of all the corruption and all of the immorality and of all of the sin and of all of the 55 million children that have been slain. The judgment is coming. It cannot be stopped. It is coming to America. I know, things are never going to change. And then the Berlin Wall wasn't going to ever fall either. Let me tell you something. America, I have a responsibility to sound the alarm somewhat. Small little town in Zilla, congregation of however many's here this morning. I have a personal responsibility to warn this church that hard times are coming ahead of us. That the sword of the Lord is coming against America. Why? Do I have to explain this to you? When our leadership allows and embraces and legalizes immorality, there's something wrong with our leadership. Hello? We're being coerced into accepting things that we do not believe in. The guy making the cake's a small example to what's coming down the pike. Hate crimes. I'll preach this message and I could be arrested for a hate crime because it could be interpreted that I'm against gay people or against abortion or whatever. Well, let me tell you something. I'm against those. I'm not against the people. I want God to save them. I want them to know the Christ I know. I want them to live morally, because a moral life is a far more prosperous and a better life than the one they're living. If you were to talk to any of these people that live in this lifestyle, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or whatever they've been captivated with, sexual addictions or whatever, if you talk to them, they're miserable. Don't get this picture that everybody's happy, because they're not happy. In fact, I would like somebody to do this kind of a research. I would like to know how many supposed gay couples that were committed to each other for life, how many of them are still committed to each other for life? I'll bet their divorce rate is higher than ours. And ours is obscene. Hello? Am I touching on a subject you're not interested in? So coercion is the next thing. And personal attacks is the last thing. You will be attacked for being too rigid. You'll be attacked for being too Victorian, too old-fashioned. I was listening to the television program on History Channel, and they were talking about, you know, how things were created and all this kind of things, and they were talking about how we had aliens from out of space come and build pyramids and do all these other things that they did. I hate to be the one to always stand against these things, and how it took 4.4 billion years for us to get where we're at. Folks, if this planet was 4.4 billion years old, it would be as smooth as a marble, and we wouldn't be on it, because erosion alone would smooth this planet out. I don't believe in evolution, never have believed in it, and never will. In fact, went to the principal's office many times because my biology teacher would kick me out of class because I would argue that my family had no long tails and they didn't swing in trees. And she didn't like that. So off to the office I'd go, Mr. Scarborough's office. Connor, are you arguing evolution again? Yeah, I don't believe in it. I'm not going to accept this baloney. And so that's just where I stand. But the whole idea is that that's supposedly accepted as being fact when it's simply a theory. And I'm not a very good one at that. So we've got all these efforts that the enemy is launching at us. How do we respond as Christians? What are we supposed to do? How do we become watchmen on the wall? What is our responsibility for protecting our families? That is our main responsibility. As a church, we're to protect ourselves, protect each other, stand for each other, be guardianships of our community. We need to stand up and be vocal about what we know is right for our life and our lifestyles. In a very literal sense, we need to be involved in our community. We need to be involved in helping our community maintain a high standard of living. And I don't mean necessarily financially. I'm talking about ethically and morally. Because it doesn't matter how much money you've got, if you're immoral, there's a destruction coming down the pike. You still with me? And in a very literal sense, we create peace by being vigilant. We create peace by preparing. One president we had said, walk softly or talk softly and carry a big stick. We need to take heart to that, because in the time when the alert needs to be sounded, we need men that are well prepared, families that are well prepared. That very seriously, you should be, you knew I was coming to this, very seriously, if you don't know how to can food in this community, in this area, if you don't know how to pickle asparagus and beans, or can tomatoes and beans, you need to let us start a class here. And get Annie or some of the others to teach us how to can and put up some cans and some jars in your home. You need to store water. You need to. Hey, I don't care if you even buy that freeze dry stuff. You drop a. You ever seen that stuff? It's all freeze dry. You take a drop of water and it just blows up into a dinner. Have you ever seen it? No, it's. Now I know you're lying, Pastor. I don't care what you do, but you need to prepare for disaster, because guess what? The more prepared you are for disaster, the more you pray that it never happens and you don't have to use it. But if it happens, if the sound of the alarm takes place, then you're ready. Now that's just for your family. And the other thing you need to do is not only prepare in those ways, you need to prepare financially. You need to get yourself out of debt. You need to stand up at Dave Ramsey and just scream, I'm debt free. You need to get out of debt as best as you possibly can. And so that these things are not affecting your life and your preparation. And so get some food stored up and get some water stored up. And it wouldn't even hurt you to get some of them old metal cans and fill them up with gasoline. So in case you have no power, you can run a generator or something. Start thinking for yourself. As we give you the warning, one more time, get ready, because coming upon this nation is the judgment of God. And guess what? When the judgment happens and the alarm is sounded, and you're not prepared, it's your responsibility. The consequences will be yours. It doesn't mean you can't come knock on my door and I won't give you one of those patties you can drop a drop of water on. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have a responsibility to be aware that there's a great enemy coming. It started spiritually, and now it's just becoming bold and out in your face. So I'm being a watchman this morning and warning you that there are things ahead of us. Things are not going to go as they seem all the time. And we may be prosperous in this valley to a certain degree, but that's not the way it is across this land. And there are those that are working systematically to control that. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy. I'm not. Here's the deal. In the spiritual issue for your home, you need to know what the dangers are and not allow them in your home whatsoever. For you, yours, and all the people that you know. As a spiritual watchman, you need to learn new ways and bold ways to expose yourself to God. Because God is our only answer. He's the only one that can preserve us. He's the only one that can give us a little bit of oil in a cruise and a barrel full of meal and make that last until the famine is over. God does those things, can do those things, can provide for us. But he expects you to do what you can until he has to provide for you. Hello? And so as a watchman, I'm telling you to wake up, literally. We're living in a time when our culture is being, how did President say it? We are going to fundamentally change this nation. That should have been the first warning. That should have been the first light that went off in your mind. So spiritually, we need to get more exposed to the Lord, more sensitive to God, more anointed by the Lord. Allow the God of our forefathers to begin to move in our way, in our lives in ways that we never would even anticipated. I'm not trying to be a doomsday guy because I'm not a conspiracy theorist to that point, but I know the devil has been conspiring against us for a long time. He's used people to do it, but he's done it. And he's going to continue to do it until he destroys what he thinks is the family of God. And so what am I saying today? One, get ready. Prepare yourself on every avenue. Two, set the example. Three, trust God like you've never trusted him before. And four, become vocal about your convictions. One of the ways to do that, of course, we know is to vote. Vote for what's right. Amen? Find out what your candidates believe. Vote for the one closest to your convictions. Hello? Get active. Become a part of a party of some kind and change the party if you have to or do whatever you have to do to get our convictions and our beliefs and our basic foundation of our society to go back to the constitutional concepts. We need to do that. But most of all, we need to be the example in this world that is not being shown by any of our leadership. So take this away from this message as I close. How ready are you for the coming attack? Second of all, am I really the watchman God has called me to be? Now, some of you single moms that are raising children, you're the spiritual leader. And the third thing, which I think is the most important thing, and I'm closing with this, the third thing is, am I allowing, am I hearing, am I allowing the true watchman to be able to clearly speak to my heart? Who is the obvious and real watchman that we need to trust and be sensitive to, be hearing from? Who do you need to be hearing from? You need to be hearing from the one who watches over your soul, of course, is Jesus Christ, but he uses the Holy Spirit to guide your life and to direct your life. Am I making any sense? Am I sensitive to the Holy Ghost? Am I sensitive to the Spirit? Is he speaking to me, and am I hearing clearly what he's saying? Let me tell you what he's saying today. Get yourself together. Put your watchman on the wall and prepare for the attack. You can do that spiritually and literally. Prepare for the attack because the enemy's going to... In fact, when you leave this church this morning, everything that I've shared with you, the enemy is going to attack you on that basis. Yeah. Oh, pastor, I don't know what he's talking about. He does that storing up food thing and all of that. And I'm not talking about getting fanatic and filling up three car garage full of food. That's not what I'm talking about. You just need to have some things in case there's a disaster. It may not be armies marching down the street. It may be just disaster, floods. Well, Zilla's above the water, but I don't know, you know. But my point is, there's all kinds of disasters that can take place. Get prepared for the worst, and then when it doesn't happen, you're ahead of the game. But when it does happen, the watchman will be able to sound the trumpet, and you'll be ready. Amen? Let's stand, shall we? Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. Don't often like to hear the kind of message that's shared with us because it's a call to action is what it is. And to be prepared for things that we can't imagine happening in America. But I believe the sword will come in one way or another. Your judgment upon this land is coming. It's coming. And so, Father, I'm just praying that we would be wise enough to be alert, not fanatically. I don't think you're calling us to be fanatics, to be crazy, but conspiracy theorists. That's not the thing we're thinking. But we do think you're giving us a warning, and just in time. We have time to prepare our spiritual walk, our lives. If there's sin in our lives, we can repent and get that taken care of. If there's need to prepare for our families, for their protection and whatever, Father, we just have time. We have time, and you've allowed us that. But if we're not vigilant, then we're being foolish. And so, Father, we want you to guide us and anoint us and help us and strengthen us and encourage us. Father, we want to be what you want us to be. We want to follow you. And we want to stand for you. So we want to stand for the right things. What do we want to stand for? We want to stand for the things that are pleasing to you. Living right, walking upright, walking godly before you. Help us. Help us to hear from the Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit as He speaks to our hearts. And we will bless you, we will worship you, we will glorify you. Because you are our God. And you have never failed us. And you have always, in the face of disaster, sent a warning. You sent prophets to warn before Babylon ever came into Israel. You sent prophets to warn that a Messiah was coming long before he came. Now you're warning for us to be prepared because the Messiah is coming again. And we want to be ready. So we ask you, Lord, if there's any sin in our lives, forgive us. Help us to walk upright before you. Help us to do the right thing, live the right way. Help us to honor one another as Christians, build one another up. God, may we do the thing that you called us to do. Most of all, Father, may we be faithful to our God. We ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. And be sure to shake Ryan's hand as he heads back to the back of the door there. Thanks, Ryan, for being so hospitable. Amen. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.